Such a good song. Oh, you're back here with the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We got my dear friend Carlton Huffman here. And we're talking about, obviously, the election, kind of the fallout. And, you know, I was having a conversation with one of my coworkers earlier today, actually. And we were talking about, these wedge issues, these non-issues. And he brought up, yeah, I tell you what, you know, these schools are forcing our children to, you know, with these transsexual issues and gay issues and da, 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 and they're forcing. And I said, you know what? Where are you hearing that? And he goes, that's just, and I said, yeah, because he's like, that makes me furious. And I said, you know, if there was a school that was forcing that on my children, I would be furious too. I would hate that because here's the thing, you know, people in this campaign dehumanized trans people like I've never seen before. And I said to him, I said, do you know what it would be like to be that person? And he's like, no. And I said, I don't either. I don't know what it would feel like to feel that I am not in the right, you know, gender. That would suck to feel that way. I'm glad I don't have to feel that way. But I completely respect those people's rights to exist and to thrive, even though I don't understand what that's like. And I'm fortunate that I don't have to understand what that's like. I sympathize and I empathize with them because all they want to do is just live their lives. And here they're being kicked around like a political football. I think it's disgusting and it's wrong. And, you know, and for this person to believe that into his deepest convictions, and this is happening in the schools, and this is why I vote, because that's not right. And it's like, you're right. That isn't right. But it's also not happening. So, Carlton Huffman, how do we get to that place where they think that this is rampant?
You have, and I mean, it was described even as far back as the 2004 election that we saw the rise of alternative media that started off like with Rush Limbaugh and Fox News, but has metastasized into a whole spider web of organizations and outlets. Steve Bannon's War Room is probably one of the more prominent ones, but they basically are very good at just painting a reality, an alternative reality, yeah, that these people live in, and that they take it as gospel. And for people to be able to combat that, we have to meet these people where they are in terms of their everyday lives. And when you show that you have concern for their everyday lives and their betterment, that used to be the bread and butter of the Democrat Party.
Right.
Whenever it came to working people, but having compassion is not wrong. But I can sit here and say that the Republican Party and the right have definitely been able to paint the Democrat Party with a caricature as the party of coastal elites and the party of basically the college towns, and where a lot of these issues are discussed in an esoteric way without considering how those issues play in the real world. But Democrats have they've got a long time to think about this, but I don't tell people that you compromise on treating people with respect and dignity and compassion, because that's something that we should always aspire to do. But in terms of earning the trust of people who are naturally inclined to believe these hot button lies and garbage, you have to basically show them that you care about their everyday lives. You hear them and their concerns about inflation and the cost of living, which is a real issue.
Oh, yeah.
When you meet them there, that's whenever you can begin to establish trust, and they see you as someone who is not trying to basically change the world around them, in the sense that we want basically kids to be trans is the way it's presented.
Right, right. And so, you know, I guess kind of look at this overall, what do you think happened? How did we get to Donald Trump, 47th president?
So we have to look at it, and this might hurt some feelings, but we got to say it. Joe Biden was the man for the moment in 2020. He was not the man for the moment in 2024. And the simple fact of the matter is that he presented himself in 2020 as a transitional candidate basically acknowledging the fact that he was going to be the oldest man ever elected to that office up until Donald Trump this past Tuesday. And his people lived in a bubble, thinking that we beat Trump once, therefore we could beat him again. And so he stayed in way beyond his warranty, and to the fact that it took a debate where the entire country saw what some of us were worried about but were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But once it was reality was staring us right in the face, you could just sit there and see that there was no way that he was going to be able to win re-election and govern again for 4 years. And the fact that it took a month of pressure to get him to acknowledge that reality left Democrats sitting behind the eight ball. And this, the other one, I mean, the institutional media as a whole, and when I say that, I mean the New York Times, NBC, ABC, all these folks knew who Donald Trump was. And they saw what he did in the aftermath of the election of 2020. But basically, as soon as he left office and then started running again, they treated it as a normal presidential horse race where this person's up in the polls, this person's down in the polls, this person is going to do this on X, Y, and Z issue, whereas Donald Trump just a week ago joked about members of the media getting shot.
Yeah.
And they treated him with normalcy for the bulk of the 3.5 years that he was not in the presidential race at the center of national attention. And because they normalized him, they are going to reap some tough benefits over these next 4 years, because there's only one candidate who's joked about taking away broadcast license.
Yeah.
And that's Donald Trump. And now he has a pliant judiciary, and what we're looking at is possible united Republican control of Congress and Project 2025, where he has said that he is going to basically rip away civil service protections for federal employees. He is going to put people in place that are going to make the media's lives and all of our lives a lot more difficult for them being there.
Yeah, it's kind of you don't even know where to start, you know, and to assume that this guy is a normal candidate is ridiculous, and it's not something that can be based in reality. You know, he's twice impeached. He stole national secrets. He, you know, I mean, and on and on and on. It's something that we can't take seriously. You know, I don't know really how else to say that. And then it is disappointing where, you know, the media just would go on like this is normal when one candidate gets mad when they get fact checked at a debate and the other one does not. You know, this is not something that we can really look at with all sincerity.
Yeah, and the fact is that because they normalized him in terms of not saying that this man has trafficked in fascist rhetoric and basically said he wanted his generals to be like Hitler's generals, to basically salute and say, yes, sir. The fact that the media just waited up until the last 2 months of the campaign, really, to start taking him more seriously and focusing
it's crazy.
On what they said he was going to do. Also, the man who dined with Nick Quintet.
Yep. All right, and we're going to continue this here right after the break here with Carlton Huffman.